morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here. Now, first off, which native species are we seeing most at threat due to bushfires?
So there's a few. The ones that have been probably in the news most recently are a couple down in southwestern Australia, which is one, the critically endangered western ground parrot. So that's a ground-dwelling bird. And another one is the critically endangered Gilbert potoroo, which is the rarest marsupial in the world. And then there's some other species in that area, like the quokka, the western ring-tailed possum, and also some plants as well. So that's sort of a bit of a hot spot for threatened species. But certainly there's other species in other parts of Australia that are also threatened by these changed fire regimes.
Now, this seems a little unusual to me, given that Australian wildlife, well, bushfires are part of the ecosystem here in Australia. We may see climate change making these more and more frequent, more and more extreme, but a lot of the plants and animals have evolved in order to work with these bushfires, so as it were. So why is it we now see them coming under threat?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. So our native species has co-evolved with fire over a very long time. So they're used to this, and when fires did occur in the past, they were smaller, they didn't cover as big of an area, and they weren't as intense or as frequent. But since European settlement in Australia, we've made a series of changes to the way the land operates and is managed, and that's really altered the way that fires operate. So over the past 100 years or so, what we've seen is an increase in fire frequency and also the size of fires and the intensity. So these species that have declined due to other threats, such as introduced predators like cats and foxes and also habitat loss, they've got smaller populations and they only live in small pockets of habitat. So that means that if a fire does occur where they live, it has the potential to wipe out an entire population. So it's quite a risky deal for them.
Can some of these animals be moved to new habitats that maybe aren't as much at risk, or would this just create new problems in an entirely new habitat?
Yeah, so certainly creating insurance populations or captive breeding is an emergency intervention which has been used in a few cases to really protect those species that have very small populations. So just as two examples, one of those is the Gilbert's potoroo, which is that marsupial I was talking about. There's something like 50 or 60 of them left in the wild or that exist anywhere. So what the Department of Parks and Wildlife over in WA has done is they've created one insurance population, which is on an island, which is really protected from fire and predators, and then another insurance population, which is behind a fence that cats and foxes can't get at. So certainly, those are pretty extreme options, and you don't really want to get to the situation where you have to do that, but sometimes it's really necessary if you want to stop these critically endangered species from going extinct.
So what other options do we actually have on the table?
Sure. Well, I guess we really need to be thinking about how we manage our landscapes to both protect human lives and property, but also do it in an ecologically sensitive way so that we're not burning up the bush and destroying critical habitat for these species. So prescribed burning is one part of that, but when that occurs, we really need to be doing it in a smart, evidence-based way so that we're not necessarily aiming to burn X number of hectares every year. We really need to be looking at targeting those actions in areas that are the most riskiest, and also as part of those plans, making sure that we're not burning the habitat of species that are really on the brink of extinction.
Well, Tim, obviously a very concerning issue. Do appreciate you coming on and having a chat with us about it this morning.
Great, thank you.